it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from Hugh O'Connor's Irish Bar and Restaurant, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome to Hugh O'Connor's Pub on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. If you're out and about and you're driving around, the physical address is 7620 Katy Freeway. Hugh O'Connor's the official home of the Euros for Soccer Matters. Presented by, as always, the Daspit Law Firm. We got more than enough things to talk about in the world of soccer today. We'll have a whole bunch of guests coming in here tonight. I would suggest if you're in the market for free soccer tickets, this is the place to come tonight because I have a ton of tickets for both the Houston Dynamo and FC Cincinnati and the Houston Dash OL Reign on Friday night. So if you're out and about, it's 7620 Katy Freeway. We're excited to be here, hosted by Hugh O'Connor's Goose and Company. Have us in great place here. Peter, David, really taking care of us out here. So come on out and join us. We'll have a number of guests in here tonight. Let me just let you know who's going to be here. Fred Fowler of the Blitz is apparently coming over. So we'll have Fred in-house here. We're going to talk a little bit of soccer with Fred. It's always good to get mainstream opinion. Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. He's already in the house. We're going to talk some Denmark with him. He's brought a Christian Eriksen official jersey from the Euros because he was over in Denmark. So he will be here and popping on the show shortly. And then we have Rodrigo de Luna coming in as well tonight. So Rodrigo, we know from the soccer community. And then DJ Sun from the Netherlands, who people know for his music, but he's very up on the scene in the Netherlands. Of course, the Dutch press is absolutely vilifying the exit of the Netherlands. For Germany today, Auf Wiedersehen. They are done. Manuel Neuer and company are out. They go down 2-0 to England. I heard there was a big crowd in here, or a nice crowd in here at Hugh O'Connor's today. So it's big for England. Raheem Sterling, Harry Kane, the late second-half goals. They win at Wembley. And England now will next take on the Ukraine in the quarterfinals. So there's a lot of really interesting things going on in the Euros. And frankly, there's a lot of unpredictability in it as well. Call-in number right now. I'd like some people to weigh in on the Euros. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We got some future stars in here tonight. Some real-time soccer players in here. Nice to meet you guys. They're coming in with the great Garrett Grinsfelder. Here's another Houston soccer guy, right, who just walks in the door. This guy won a national championship at the University of Connecticut with five other Houston guys. Comes in here with his kids after soccer practice. It's pretty cool, right? Guy walks in, national championship at UConn. What year, Garrett, did you win the national championship? 2000, unbelievable. This guy grew up playing at Bear Creek Park. UConn, who did you beat in the final? Who'd you beat in the final? SMU in the final. So there you go. In the house, Garrett Grinsfelder. That's good. Love seeing these guys that contributed to the soccer community here, and now they're taking their kids to training. They're working with them in their backyards. It's what it's all about. All right, Euros, 713-780-3776. What's jumped out to you? Yesterday, the Swiss remind us why we love the sport. Commentators, fans, everybody around the world thinking it was over at 3-1. Respect to the Swiss and gratitude for bringing us that amazing moment yesterday. They come back and tie it up 3-3, go on to knock out the World Cup champions France in penalty kicks. An amazing moment. For me, the best moment of the tournament so far. Some are denying Mbappe from the spot at the end to win it. I would say this. Up until a penalty kick, the Swiss, the Petkovic plan, working perfectly. They're getting timely possession. They're defending in a low block perfect. Everything going their way. They got a 1-0 lead. They could have went up 2-0. They get the penalty. The penalty save, all of a sudden it pokes the bear, which is France, with all the talent that they have. And in the blink of an eye, all of a sudden it's 3-3. This was amazing drama, amazing theater, fantastic stuff. And this tournament has clearly taken us through some really, really crazy, unpredictable storylines, comebacks. Yesterday, 14 goals scored. Today, English fans think they are going to bring it home with a 2-0 victory over the Germans, the Ukraine. In overtime, win 1-0 over Sweden, who had a red card in overtime. We're down to 10 men in that one. So a lot of things to talk about here tonight. So the quarterfinals are set up. Friday, it'll be Switzerland and Spain in St. Petersburg. Belgium, Italy in Munich on Friday. Saturday, the Czech Republic and Denmark. So the Danes are going to be super happy. They're feeling pretty good. That's going to be like two ships in the night right there, I think. The Czech Republic and Denmark. That's a good one. Either of those teams could win it, by the way. And then England and Ukraine in Rome on Saturday. So there's your quarterfinals. So the Germans are out. The French are out. Some of the heavy hitters are adios. Auf Wiedersehen. They are gone. I know Rodrigo de Luna was pulling for the Germans today. But they're gone. We'll talk some Dynamo RSL today. 1-1 draw. The Dynamo will be in action against FC Cincinnati this weekend, Saturday. Big night at the stadium. $1 hot dogs, $3 beers. We're giving a bunch of tickets out for that. Getting smart there, trying to get people back to the stadium with cheaper pricing. It's a good move. 4th of July fireworks. A lot will be happening there. You've got the Dash in the Rain on Friday night as well. We're going to give tickets out to all of this. New ownership for the Houston Dynamo, Ted Siegel. We've talked a lot about that. So next segment, we'll bring on Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, longtime supporter of this show. Later on tonight, Jan is going to pick out a name and somebody is going to win this beautiful Christian Eriksen jersey. So if you're bumping around town and you're driving out in the car, it's a great night to get in here. Again, it's Hugh O'Connor's Pub. It's on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. There's a lot of people you know here from the soccer community. And we'll take some phone calls, 713-780-3776. I need to correct myself here. SMU lost to UConn in the semifinals in 2000, and then they beat Creighton in the finals. So that's what happens. A lot of Houstonians involved with that. Five players from the Hurricane Soccer Club in Houston that day winning a national championship, reminding us that our soccer history runs very deep in this city and goes all the way back into the late 60s on the professional side, where the Houston Astrodome once hosted the first ever soccer game there. It was Real Madrid against West Ham United and Bobby Moore, who held the 1966 World Cup trophy aloft for England. There's a lot of references to 1966 today because of what England did. The ESPN street team's in here. We're happy they're here. Claire's here. And who's with you, Claire? Alex? Claire and Alex are here. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. They've got a lot of free stuff to give away, too. So I can say anybody who comes to Hugh O'Connor's, you will leave with something for free. We can promise you that. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. A couple of things here on the England game today. 300th game at Wembley, that's a big deal. Kind of a nervous start for England in this one. I think the Germans coming out a bit sharper. Leon Goretzka getting a start for Yogi Löw. Yogi Löw is done. Thomas Müller was put into the starting lineup as well. 16th minute, Sterling with a great hit, saved by Manuel Neuer. Sterling will pick up his third in this one eventually. England gaining pressure and confidence as the game went along. Incredible support in Wembley. Their press became a lot more successful. They were pushing the Germans back. They were playing a pretty high line, which was at times, I thought, a little bit nervous and almost breached. It was breached by Timo Werner, who was put through. There was one moment where Thomas Müller checked back into midfield, got turned without pressure, put somebody in. 35 minutes into the game, Harry Kane had only touched the ball, I think, two or three times, who's had a very, very tough tournament. 32nd minute, the Germans off a good buildup. Kimmich to the far post. Very dangerous moment. They had a chance to go up. And then after that, Timo Werner, who's been starting, who got the start today over Serge Gnabry, who has struggled in the finishing department so mightily, but gets starts for Chelsea, gets minutes for Germany because of his mobility and movement. He gets put in one-on-one and picks Pickford. Jordan Pickford saves him at an angle. So if you're English fans out there, tell me how you're feeling. 713-780-3776. Germans seem to want the game at a slower tempo, obviously. It's an older team in a lot of cases. England upped the tempo, made him a bit uncomfortable, which was good stuff. Hummels had a saving play on Harry Kane in the first half as well. On to the second half. You remember Havertz had a chance to put Germany up 1-0 on a vicious left-footed volley. Grealish and Gnabry then came on to try and change the game. Thomas Müller had a huge miss when Germany was down 1-0 to Raheem Sterling's goal. Bad loss of possession. Müller was in one-on-one, and Thomas Müller pulled a shot wide, staring at Jordan Pickford. That was a chance for them to get back into the game, and then Harry Kane would add a second, and Germany would take their would not take their chances. The English do. That's how many people are kind of positioning this game, calling it a fairly even game, but England delivering in the finishing department after a game of equal chances. You may disagree with that. 713-780-3776. Pickford made the important saves, played very well for England in goal. Kyle Walker brought the strength and power. He was important for England snuffing out some counterattacks. John Stones, I thought, was pretty solid, came up with some big tackles. He's kind of rebuilt his image. Maguire doesn't look fully fit, I don't think. I don't think he's totally there yet. Still, he was inspirational. Timing's off a bit for him. Trippier, I think, obviously has improved defensively because he's playing at Atletico Madrid with Diego Simeone. Calvin Phillips picked up a yellow. He had to play the game a little bit differently, but has been a consistent for Gareth Southgate. Declan Rice got an early yellow card, which is always a struggle to play with in midfield, but he is obviously a growing, important player for England. Luke Shaw, strong game, pushing forward as a lateral in that game. Saka getting the start to some chagrin by Gareth Southgate over Phil Foden and Grealish. Did not seem awed by the occasion. He kind of petered out a little bit. Harry Kane, limited touches, did get his goal, which is a good thing timing-wise now going into the quarterfinals. And then Raheem Sterling has been the most goal-dangerous player for England. Neuer had a huge save on Sterling for Germany. Ginter has grown into the tournament. Hummels actually had a very good game despite the loss, I think. I think he marked Harry Kane out of the game. He had a goal line saving play as well. Rudiger, I thought, was average. Gave the ball away. Kimmich is just a great player, but I just don't think got forward enough to make enough of a difference in this. Toni Kroos in possession, always wonderful. Not as much cutting-edge stuff from him, I don't think. Probably needed two or three more cutting-edge balls in this game. Leon Goretzka got the start. Started well, kind of faded. Goosens, okay. Havertz, you needed more from him, even though he had the volley. He probably was the most dangerous player on the day. And then Timo Werner got the start over Gnabry, as I mentioned. Thomas Müller, the huge missed chance. That's what his day is going to be all about at the end of the day. So, you know, give it to England. And that's a huge win. First win at Wembley over England and over Germany since I think, I don't know, you got to go pretty far back. I think 1974 is the last time Germany got a win over England. Yeah, it's big. It's big for England. A lot of people think it's going to be brought home now. A lot of people think England because of the draw. could become favorites. I would just not sleep on the Ukraine in the next match because they're still there. They've got nothing to lose. Andrei Shevchenko has made history with the Ukraine as today they knock off Sweden. You're on the right side of the bracket, although I don't think anything is going to be easy in the semifinals getting either Denmark or the Czech Republic. So a lot going there. All right, we're going to take your phone calls throughout the night at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Anybody in the house right now here at Hugh O'Connor's, if you want to be in the raffle, lots of free tickets, jerseys, all kinds of things. Come up, sign in. You have a shot at winning things here tonight. I did go to Austin FC and got into that stadium for the first time. I can honestly tell you I felt like I was in Europe. The atmosphere is off the charts in Austin, despite the fact they've been shut out six out of their last seven games. Two games in a row where you open a brand new stadium and people are going wild and you don't produce a goal. It's pretty rough. It's not easy. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, it's more to come. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Take care of your bartenders here tonight. Come on in here. Joining me in the next segment, we're going to talk a little Denmark. We'll talk more Euros, Danish inspirations, modern contemporary furniture, Jan Christensen. The show, as always, is brought to you by John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They will represent you. They will work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. John is a big soccer fan. He's gotten this show on the air here in Houston. He also has the show on in Austin. So if you're listening in on the stream in Austin, it's DaspitLawAustin.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. Come out and join us.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Live from Hugh O'Connor's Irish Bar and Restaurant, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Hugh O'Connor's here, 7620 Katy Freeway. If you're out and about on the town, come on in and join us. It is Soccer Matters Live, our third live show here. We got one more again on Tuesday. You will want to be in here both Friday and Saturday for the Euros, taking in games. And then we're going to have a huge watch party for the final on the 11th with the Euros. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got a lot of guests coming in. I know there's some other people coming in a little bit later on. We also have a lot of freebies here, courtesy of ESPN. But we're raffling off Dynamo tickets, Dash tickets. We got a Christian Eriksen jersey, courtesy of Jan Christensen and Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. We have soccer balls, all kinds of cool shirts. So your chances of winning, I would say, without tipping you off, are pretty darn good. Fred Fowler from the Blitz coming in later. And once I say Fred's name, Victor Ariza, everybody knows him from Soccer Matters back. His head popped up like he's a Fred groupie. He's back there. Victor now writing for The Striker, which is a nice outfit here covering the game in Texas. So we're glad Victor's here. We'll probably get him on a mic before the night's over. All right, Jan Christensen joining me now. Also Garrett Grinsfelder, who grew up playing in Houston and won a national championship in 2000 with the University of Connecticut. He's brought his boys in here. By the way, his boys are very good players and his boys' friends. And this is the thing we want. We want guys that grew up playing on the fields here, moving on in life, having families, and passing on the beautiful game to them. Jan, welcome into the show.
Thank you, Glenn. Good to be here, man.
And Garrett, welcome in as well.
Appreciate it, Glenn.
Thanks for jumping on. You didn't know you were coming on the radio.
I did not.
Don't be nervous. You're going to make it.
Thank you.
It's okay. So, Jan, I just first off want to just, you know, you were in Copenhagen. You were in Denmark. You've been in and around the whole Christian Eriksen thing. You were nice enough to bring back a jersey, which we're going to raffle off. But what has this meant to the country of Denmark? And put it in context with everything that happened to Christian Eriksen that affected us all around the world.
Right, yes, Glenn. The 16 months of COVID, of course, as we all know, has been a disaster for a lot of things. And then this event of Euro 2020 was the biggest thing, because for the first time ever, Denmark was going to play three home games in a European Championship in Copenhagen. And the excitement was enormous. And I, as you remember, I sent you a video from before the game against
Finland. Oh, that was awesome, and I appreciate that.
Against Finland.
That made me feel like I was there.
Yeah, against Finland, the atmosphere was fantastic. When this happened with Christian, as we all, the things got so quiet. I mean, from the excitement and the yelling and the screaming, things got so quiet you could hear a needle fall. And suddenly, and as you remember, the Danish team this covered up Eriksen with a ring around him.
Yep.
And Simon Kjær, the captain of Denmark, he clearly said, "I didn't want his wife to see him die on the field."
Yeah.
So I said that was going to happen. So, but the togetherness and then the irresponsibility of UEFA, who pushed the Danish team to get on the team.
Yeah,
again,
so I want to just stop you there, because one of the options for Denmark was to forfeit the game, which is unbelievably unheartfelt, which I think everybody was pretty stunned by that from FIFA. And then when they put up the sheets around them, you know, everybody's mind, you know where it went. I mean,
right,
it went
right
to maybe this, he's not going to make it.
Yeah, right. And the trauma, as you know, from, you know, I had a traumatic experience on the field where a colleague of mine broke his leg, terrible break on the field, and I couldn't play the rest of the game, and I was just in shock because it was a really bad bro. And they expect these guys to be their best friend, their captain, their heart, no pun intended, the heart of the team is Christian Eriksen. Everything revolved around him. And they expect them to go out and play, you know.
And then we get the whole world is supporting Denmark. Yeah. The country's rallying around it.
And yes. And but I want to point out Kasper Juhlmann, the Danish coach.
Yes.
And as you probably have heard, you know, he had this experience before with a player getting hit by lightning in his earlier career.
You told me that.
Yeah. And but he, the way he understood how each player took it differently, how he had talked to each player individually and really been a leader and at the same time dealing with his own emotions, because him and Christian were very close. You know, everything, every tactic was discussed with Christian.
Yeah, of course.
And he still managed to pull the team together and say, "Guys, we're going to do this for Denmark. We're going to do this for Christian." And that has been...
It's galvanized them.
Yes.
It's galvanized the country. It's galvanized the soccer world.
Right. Right, and when you can play, you know that. When you can play with adrenaline like that and emotion like that, your level goes up. Your level goes up. And I think the sky is the limit for Denmark right now, in my judgment.
No, but I think in this tournament, absolutely.
And not to take any away, we have quality players. We have quality players on every position on the team. And you know, anything can happen in these 90-minute games, as you know.
And yeah, good news, sounds like Kjær is going to be available over injury for Denmark. All right, so I just want to jump Garrett in here real quick. And Garrett grew up. Garrett, when you saw the whole thing with Christian Eriksen, you know, what were your first thoughts and indications?
It was scary. I mean, scary stuff. Crazy to see somebody on the field, especially a player of his caliber. I mean, he's a star. He's running the sideline, and then all of a sudden just drops. And seeing his teammates' reaction is what really – brings it home. They knew that something serious was going on, and it was pretty crazy to watch, being a soccer fan my whole life. But thankfully, he's doing fine now, and he's been able to talk to his teammates, and you know, it seems like he's on the way back, which is awesome. And it's there's no doubt that, as mentioned before, he's really motivated the team to make the heck of a run that they're on. So yeah, it's going to definitely be exciting to see what they do and what motivation for what they're playing for. And to go back to what you said, Glenn, I thought it was awesome to see other teams during celebrations give shout-outs towards Eriksen, like Lukaku and some of those guys. When they went to score goals, they made comments towards a player like Eriksen. So it shows that that guy is just respected, you know, worldwide as a soccer
player.
Well,
just think about any player. I mean, this is not a really good compare and contrast, but think about that high-rise that has crumbled in Florida. Now, everybody living in a high-rise along the Florida coastline is probably – in their mind going, wow, I wonder what my high-rise is like structurally. I wonder if it's been checked, right? Every single player and every human can go, hey, I can be walking down the street and I can you know, it can happen to me. I mean, life is fleeting, right? So it brought everybody together. All right, I want to switch it back to the competitive side now, Jan. Give me a couple of standouts for Denmark so far. That I mean, obviously there's goal scorers. What do you think has been sort of the key to them?
The left back, Joachim Mehle, has absolutely been running all over the field, scored two goals, and has been ice cold in the goal situations and has caught the attention of many, many clubs around. He plays in Italy right now, but I'm sure that he got a great future ahead of him. Of course, our midfielder, Højbjerg, has just been, he's a true warrior. He's been everywhere. He's screaming, he's yelling, he's directing, and he's fighting his heart out. So Højbjerg and Mehle are the two that really stand out. Of course, Simon Kjær has been an excellent captain. He's been leading the way.
The back three are big, strong guys.
And then Anders Christensen
as well.
You know, Guardian just did a review of the best Premier League players in Euro 2020, and he was number one. He was the number one player of all the Premier League players that played. And he has been solid as a rock. And any talk about Chelsea wanting to sell him, I don't think is going to happen.
By the way, you got Kasper Schmeichel in goal doing things, and you got Dolschberg up front scoring goals. So either end of the field, you're getting big contributions.
Right, and then the new kid, Damsgaard. Damsgaard, he's the 20-year-old. He plays in Italy. A friend of mine's son actually coached Damsgaard when he was 16 and told me he's going to be a great player. And he's really having a breakthrough. And he can really do some damage as well, Damsgaard. Keep an eye on him for the Danish team. And he's only 20 years old.
All right, so. Garrett. And we're going to come back to Jan with more Denmark talk. What has jumped out either team-wise or individual-wise in the Euros to you? And by the way, we're out here at Hugh O'Connor, 7620. Katy Freeway is the place. We appreciate everybody who's in here tonight. And hopefully we'll get a few more through the door here. But we're having a good time. What's up, Garrett? Who do you like in the Euros?
So I'm an Italian fan. I like Italy. I'm a defender. You know that, Glenn. Play defense. They're a defensive team.
Although, with a name like Grinsfelder, you're an Italian fan?
This new Italian team is a lot more cohesive and attacking, but they still have that core with Nucci and people like that. So I like Italy. But I'm again, just a fan. I'm watching as a fan. I love all not having USA in it because I'm obviously – a fan of USA's national team, but not having them in it, I'm just a fan of the game. And it's been incredible so far. Exciting games, great goals. You know, to jump back to Denmark, having Schmeichel in goal is going to be huge because, in all reality, there's been some goalkeeper mistakes in some of these games and some shots and some things. Nobody wants to blame the goalie. It's a tough job, but there's been some that I felt could have been saved. There was also that drastic mistake by Spain yesterday. Yes, luckily they got out of it, but there has been some goalkeeping issues. So to have somebody like Schmeichel, who's just a proven great goalkeeper, is going to help them for sure too. That's another reason I like Italy, because Donnarumma also is incredible goalie. So I think it's going to be a great finish. I think you got great teams.
Italy got a scare from Austria.
Yeah, they
got a little
they
bit
did.
Of a scare from
but,
Austria.
But I like that. I like it when a team gets tested before it gets too down. They need that. They need to get tested before they get into the quarters and semis and things like that. So I think that's only going to help them, in all honesty.
You know, Jan, my years watching World Cups and tournament play, and we all know tournaments can go in all kinds of different directions, right? A save penalty like, all of a sudden the French, in the blink of an eye, score two goals, right? A player injured, like this traumatic thing that happened with Christian Eriksen. Tournaments can change in a moment's notice. But what I always notice is nobody ever goes through a tournament playing perfect. They have that one-off game, that one bad day that somehow they have to survive.
And that's, as you look at Sweden today, the red card. Immediately, I thought they were done at that time, but they tried to get to the penalty kicks, but they didn't work out. So, as you always say, again, a red card, an injury, anything can change the game. And the 90-minute games, how are the players mentally? Are they underestimating the opponent? Yeah. Are France going in with this yesterday? Oh, Switzerland, man, come on, we beat them 9 times in a row, man, there's no problem, you know. And then it is a problem because today we have so many quality players. In the big old days, the smaller countries didn't have the same pros out there as they do today. You know, and that's one thing, I don't know if we have time to discuss this, but that, you know, 32% of all the games are decided by penalty of the player after the first round. 32% through the Euro and the World Cup has been decided by penalty kicks. And I just want to tell the college coaches out there that the penalty kicks, don't take it too lightly. I believe sincerely you have to train it. And what you have to train it after a hard day's practice, after everybody's exhausted. Okay, guys, now you go up to the middle, you take the ball and bring it down and kick it in. Because everybody has to be exhausted to take the penalty kicks, to get that mentality in the mind.
Penalties were unbelievable because by the Swifts.
But you remember in your career, this kind of, you took a little lightly.
That was a lousy penalty taker. I can argue for full revelation.
No panenkas.
I was usually the ninth or tenth guy.
But I'm just saying some coaches take that lightly. Oh, we kick a few penalty kicks before we start practice and all this. That. No, you have to take some intentional practice on this, because I sincerely believe that it can't be practice. Look at the Man United game when they had 10 penalties before they missed, because they had practiced really hard. Yeah. So I think that's a very interesting point. Because penalties. People ask me, why do the people miss penalties? Well, it's all up. It's mental and it's tiredness, you know.
So I want to go back to Vestergaard, Kerr, Christensen. And how they match up with the Czech Republic and Schick. Schick is having a great tournament. He's got three goals. They've got some dangerous guys coming out of midfield. Those three guys, Vestergaard, Kerr, and Christensen, are big, strong guys. They're not guys, I don't think, that like the movement and mobility thing quite as much from opposing forwards. How do you think they match up with the Czech Republic?
Yeah, I think, as you know, Kerr has been up against the best. He's been the best in the world, playing in all the leagues he's played in and everything. But the one thing I fear with the Danes, they're a little slow. They are a little slow. And that guy, Schick, I've seen him in the Bundesliga, and he's fast and he's dangerous. So, but I think...
Scored that amazing goal from the halfway line the first day of the tournament.
That's right.
Second day of the tournament.
Incredible. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I think Kerr has so much experience. Hopefully he's okay, you know. And then Christensen, you know, I'm not really worried about that. I'm worried about the intensity of the Czech team, can we match them in the intensity? You know, I mean, they're a small country like we are, and they are a team, and that's where they don't have that many stars, but they can fight.
By the way, the Wales game, you know, Wales the first 15, 20 minutes really kind of had control of that game against Denmark, and then it turned.
Yeah, and you saw what happened? They moved Anders Christensen out, they moved him up in the midfield, because Denmark expected only Wales to play with one up front, and suddenly they were playing with two. The big guy, Kiefer, the big guy from Wales, and then
the
Bale.
Battery ram. Yeah.
So Ullmann after he changed to put Anders Christensen up, so they could put a little more. That changed the game. That changed the game, and that's one of Kasper Ullmann's strengths, that he really can change tactics during a game in a way that can benefit the team.
By the way, Denmark is gonna reach back to 1992 when former Yugoslavia pulled out of the tournament, if I'm correct here, from my memory is serving me. They pulled the Danish team off the beach, okay, because they're on vacation from their seasons, and the Danes come back with Laudrup and company and win the Euros.
Well, Brian Laudrup, you know, Michael refused to play on that team because they weren't offensive. They weren't offensive enough for him, they said. Yeah. But
that might have been one of his worst decisions ever in life.
Maybe. And it was Saturday when Denmark played Wales. That was exactly the day 29 years ago that happened.
Yep.
We beat Holland in the semifinal on penalty kicks. Peter Schmeichel saved Van Basten's penalty kick. You know, so that's kind of ironic, you know, if it goes to penalty kicks again and that Kasper Schmeichel can save it, you know. We never lost a penalty competition in the Euros. So.
Right. Stick with us, guys. Stay with us. We're going to do another segment together if you want, Garrett. You're doing a great job on your debut here.
Appreciate
very calm. There he is. Fred Fowler has come in the house here. We're going to get Fred on a mic here right now, too, to join us of the Blitz. Give him a hand. Victor's back there, Fred. He's pumped for you. He's waiting. He's got a shot for you. Fred comes in fantastic on the radio, and he's got a lot of interesting things to talk about tonight. So we'll take a break here. We're Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. We are talking Euros, but we're going to talk a lot of different things here tonight. We'll get some Fred Fowler perspective on the great game of soccer as well in the Euros. Plus, I got to ask you, Fred, about I was listening on the way home. I'm a little worried about you and your partner, AJ. You had me a little bit worried in the car, but we'll talk about that. We got to get Fred the right partner because he's the king of rock. All right, it's great that he's come out, too, because he just did a bunch of radio for a couple hours and has driven out here. All right, we'll take a break. It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Physical address, 7620 Katy Freeway. We're giving tickets away, jerseys, you name it. We're giving it away. And if you get in here right now, you're probably going to leave with something. More heavy hitters coming in the house here, the Doise family. We'll take a break. Next to you.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
Every time Oliver Luck does that, I have to send him $100. Welcome back to Soccer Matters here, 7620 Katy Freeway. Appreciate everybody coming out. After this break, we're going to get a little bit more aggressive with giving out raffle items here. So stick with us. We got soccer balls, we got jerseys, we got tickets. We've already had one winner, and we're going to continue on here. Fred Fowler's in the house now from the Blitz, and we continue on with Garrett Grinsfelder, 2001 a national championship with the University of Connecticut Huskies, along with four other teammates here in Houston, and from Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, Jan Christensen. We continue on. All right, so let's talk a little bit about today and the importance of what happened with England, Garrett. We'll start with you. The England 2-0 win over Germany, something you expected. And also, as you look at the country of England, how pumped they are. They're already saying it's coming home as far as winning a title, the 66 World Cup. You know, they're going back to that now, and Jeff Hurst and all these symbolic things. And you know a lot of guys in the community here from England.
Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of great people that contribute to the game here.
My cousin married an English lad, John Ross.
Yeah,
so
we like him.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. We let him in.
It's a huge result for them. I mean, a country that obviously, like, it's coming home, all the challenges and things that have happened. It's a huge result. So, yes, I thought, without a doubt, Grealish changed the game when he came in, involved in both goals. That's the thing with England. I mean, they've got so much talent. It's such a tough job for Southgate to try to.
I'm stopping you right there. That is not a tough job. That's called a champagne
problem. Okay, I don't mean tough job.
That's a champagne problem.
Fair,
I hear everybody
enough.
Going, oh, it's so tough. What do you think you are as a manager? You have to make the tough decisions.
So I
would
agree.
You rather have 11 good guys and not have a bench and depth and a roster in a tournament? So enough with that. And
I agree. What I'm getting at is
Tim Howard.
What
on
I'm getting
too
at
much
is I was glad to see him play the attacking guys. He's got so many attacking guys, and he sets up a lineup that's all defensive mid and just kind of wants to get in that type of game with Germany. Then when he brings in Grealish and those players, it opens up. So the goals were great. Grealish involved in both goals. Great to see Harry Kane get a goal because his tournament hasn't been too strong so far. But for the nine of England, they need him to score. And when he scores that goal, the whole country is going to get behind that. And it's also a huge moment for him. So that was awesome. But I'm not going to lie. We've got a text chain with all my soccer buddies. And I actually had called out that Mueller is a guy to watch in these games for the Germans because he just shows up. And sure enough, he had his moment. Had he scored that goal at 1-1, it would have been something to watch the last 20 minutes at 1-1.
I feel bad for him.
I wanted him to get it, too.
Because he's such a great player, and that may be one of his last ever kicks of the ball.
I wanted him to get it, too.
You remember when down in Brazil, the World Cup, when he basically was a one-man show, annihilated Argentina.
Oh, unbelievable.
When Maradona was the coach. So I'm going to take you back to England, and I would just say this to both of you. Imagine if today the English don't take the chances that they have. They don't get the Sterling goal. They don't get the Kane goal. Germany takes the Werner goal. They take the Muller goal. It ends 2-0 Germany. Can you imagine what the outlash would be right now? Would you imagine the knives are out for Southgate, the chances you took with Lamb? And this is how fine the margins are. Howard did say that on
Oh, yeah. Kane
today.
Gets destroyed. Southgate gets crushed. Defensive lineup. No attacking. He's got Grealish on the bench.
Woe is me.
No Rashford. All this.
Crimea River.
It would have been bad. But you know what, Glenn? They did it. They got it. So it was.
And that's right. And that's why we say this is how fine the line is. Right, Ian?
Yeah. And I mean, Southgate has been playing conservative. I think he's been playing with fear. And because if we can avoid the other scoring, we'll win the game somehow. So that's okay, but you know, it's, I wanted to see Grealish from the beginning because he's one of the players that I would pay money to go and see. The entertaining, he's smart. He's.
What about Jordan Sancho? You wouldn't pay money to see him?
I would see Jordan Sancho as well, yes. Somebody.
So do you think these two guys, everybody can't play?
Yeah, right. Somebody said that they actually have 11 better players on the bench than they have on the field. Somebody said that today.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've heard that. I mean, that's all great. That's good commentary. That's fun stuff to say. But, that just reminds you how deep the team is. But look, he got criticized for starting Raheem Sterling. Sterling now has 3 goals and has scored critical goals for them. By the way, they haven't conceded a goal either.
Right. And hats off for that, you know, but the entertainment level for me.
At some point, you got to give Garrett. You know what?
The other guy you got to give credit to is Luke Shaw. I mean, he didn't start the first game of the Euros, and since he's come on, me being a Man U guy too, he has been phenomenal, man. Luke Shaw
was playing in a higher position,
playing
too,
high,
which is
involved
a little bit
in
different.
The goal too. I mean, he's been strong.
All right, let's hold up for a second. We're gonna Aaron. Let's roll some of the Gareth Southgate post game press conference after Germany gets knocked out. Auf Wiedersehen to Germany by England.
Hi, Gareth. What a night. I mean, how would you, first of all, just kind of, you know, reflect on it and put into perspective what that means for the country, but also for you and that group of players in that dressing room?
Well, I think, I mean, the players were immense, I have to say. Right the way through the team, they were immense. And they have given the fans in the stadium, who were also incredible. I mean, I've been here with a full house and not heard it anywhere near the levels that the crowd found today. But they were behind every challenge. They were behind every time we pressed the ball. They were behind every run we had. And the energy was incredible in the stadium. So to be able to send them home feeling as they do tonight, to hear them at the end, I mean, you can't beat a bit of Sweet Caroline, can you? That's a belter, really. And to know that so many millions of people after such a difficult year at home can have that enjoyment that I know we'd have given them today is very special.
Thanks, Scott. We go next to John Cross in the Mirror.
Hello, Gareth. Many, many congratulations. The team was so controlled and so measured and so impressive today. I mean, you know, it was obviously a fantastic moment, but does it allow you to dream a bit, you know, because of what's possible? Because it still feels as if this team, maybe there's still more to come in this tournament from this team.
Well, we it didn't really need me to say it, but when we got in the dressing room, we were talking about Saturday already, because today's been an immense performance, but at a cost, emotionally and physically at a cost. And we've got to make sure that we recover well and that mentally we're in the right space. It's a dangerous moment for us. We'll have that warmth of success and the feeling, you know, around the country that we've only got to turn up to win the thing, and we know it's going to be an immense challenge from here on. So I think the players know that you know, they've been to the latter stages before. They know how difficult that's been. So their feet are on the ground. They should feel confident from the way they've played and the manner of the performance. But of course, we came here with an intention, and we've not achieved that yet.
Thanks, John. Sammy Mockbell, Daily Mail.
Hi, Gareth.
Hi, Sammy.
Well, certain results and performances can reverberate and send messages. Is that one? And do you think your team, after that performance, can grow into the stature of being one of the tournament favourites?
Well, I think the performance was really important. The level of the performance, we're playing a team with 4 World Cup winners, a manager that's had an incredible career, and you know, I didn't have the chance to congratulate him earlier because you know, I know he'll tonight will be a difficult night, but he's had an incredible career with Germany, and I have huge respect for what he's done. So we know that there's always been questions following the World Cup about us against a big team, a big nation, and Germany are, with their experience today, we knew that they would dictate the speed of certain passages of the game, the possession. We know that Cruz would organise the game and Hummels, and that we'd have to be patient. So what pleased me the most was that we'll always have passion and we'll always have heart, but we played with brains today as well. And we pressed at the right moments. We wanted to be man for man aggressive in our pressure. Wing backs really did that well and set the tone. The forwards picked the right moments to go and the right moments to stay. And then we found a nice balance of being brave with the ball to keep possession in our own half at times. And, you know, our defenders are exceptional at that. But also then the right moments to really go quickly and counter. And that was a real step forward for us.
All right, so that was Gareth Southgate, the manager of England, after their 2-0 win over Germany here today. They did have a nervous start in this game. They did look a little bit nervous. Germany looked like Germany, knocking the ball around with some movement. But then they kind of upped the tempo of aggressiveness. I really noticed that their press made it difficult, even for Cruz, who connects all the dots. But they had a harder time getting out of their own half of the field. I thought it was a great response from England after a bit of a nervous start at Wembley.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you cannot blame them. You know, they lost so many times to Germany, and in the players' head, the fear, well, this is not going to happen again. So they had to settle down, and they clearly showed a much better control of the game after about 20 minutes. And I felt it was going England's way, especially when Timo Werner, he missed the big chance. I said, man, this is going to be England's day. And because, as you know, in this level, if you don't take your chances, it's a tough gig, man. And England, quality players and a quality performance in many ways. But still, to me, I still think they need to beat Belgium and Italy. They still need to take it up a notch to do that.
Well, they got to beat the Ukraine first.
That's right.
And then they get the winner of the Czech Republic and Denmark. So
right.
First things first.
Slow
down, England fan.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody, I'm not saying don't be enthusiastic, but slow down. You know, the ghost of Jeff Hurst isn't coming back to score goals for you. You still got to beat the Ukraine. There's a reason why the Ukraine has advanced.
Yeah.
Shevchenko.
They're playing on house money right now. They got no pressure. Andrei Shevchenko is making history with them. You got to respect the next hurdle in these tournaments and get rebooted. But England does have a very, very good chance, I think, as well. And to your point, they did take the chances. Jordan Pickford. He was interesting today. He was very emotional, making saves and shouting and riling the crowd up. But I thought he looked better to me. He looks better to me with the national team than he does at the club level in the Premier League. What do you guys think, Garrett? He made the saves he needed to. I mean, even the Havertz lashed volley was hit pretty much at him. And I'm not saying it still has to make the save, but pretty remarkable. Quick hit on Jordan Pickford.
He's confident with the national team, and he's got a great back line. I mean, Maguire coming in. Maguire had a great day today, and Stones, those guys are playing. Their back is what's really keeping them right now. They have so many attacking players, but those guys, their defense, Shaw, Maguire, and Stones are holding it down. So he's confident.
Stones, Pickford, he's been playing phenomenal.
Yeah.
All right, Jan, anything special going on at Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture? Now's your chance.
Well, we have the great drawing. You pick the winner of the Euros or the Copa America, and you get a chance to win a $2,000 gift certificate. You know, that's all you have to do.
Can I apply?
Yeah, you can. But you have to pick both winners and the result.
All right. What else we got going on with Stressless?
So we got a lot of stress. You know, we have our Stressless promotion going on. You save $100 for every 1,000 you spend. And, of course, as you know, the Stressless chair is the most comfortable chair, probably the most comfortable chair in the world. I'm not allowed to say.
And you always go to Danish Inspirations to reach your furniture
goals.
No, come on. Give me a good one.
You surprised me.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Goal!
There we go. All right, we'll take a break here. We got more to come. Fred Fowler's up next. He's going to have to follow Jan's goal call. Again, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Personal injury attorneys are going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. By the way, They get the show on the air. They get the show I have in Austin on the air. So a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. If you get in an accident, we don't want you to. Of course, you don't want to. It's uncomfortable. Can be nerve-wracking. But John and his firm will work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. They will take you through the process, whether it's a car accident, boat, motorcycle, you work in a refinery, it doesn't matter. It's John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Plus, a big shout-out to our friends down at Advantage BMW in Midtown. They got me in my X5. Absolutely love the car. Took me through sales into service. Their service, second to none. If you're like me, you're not a guy who can get under the hood of a car. It's Advantage BMW Midtown, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Get down there, say hello to Justin, say hello to Steven. Advantage BMW Midtown. We'll take a break. We got more to come. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.